welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topic surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
Well, I'm so glad you tuned in today. It's another day that we're closer to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He is the King. He's Lord of all. And we want to talk about that today. And I call it the Lordship of Jesus Christ and what that means. Now, we see, first of all, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that the Lordship of Christ is connected with salvation. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, there's two things mentioned in that element. First of all, it talks about accepting Jesus as Lord, and then that you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, we don't use that word Lord too much today, but what does that mean? Well, in the time of Christ, every year people would have to go before a judge, and they would throw some incense on the fire, and they would say, Caesar is Lord. And that meant that Caesar was in charge, that he had a right to tell them what to do, and they were recognizing his right as the authority and emperor of the Roman Empire. But at that time, the Caesars began to call themselves a god, so it even went beyond a political statement. It went to a political and spiritual statement. Now, Christians said this was too much to call the Caesar, and so many, many Christians would not call Caesar Lord. And when they went before the judge, if they refused to call Caesar Lord, many times he would warn them, and he had to warn them about three times, and he would say, you must say that Caesar is Lord, or you will be severely punished. And they would say, Jesus is Lord. In other words, he is the only one that has a right to tell me what to do. And so many times they were taken, they were beaten to death right there on the spot, or sometimes they were taken and thrown in jail, and then they were made food for the lions and tigers and so on in the Colosseum. But the point of the matter is that they were saying, Jesus has a right to tell me what to do. And so for salvation and faith is always directed to a person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we receive him and we put our faith in him as our Lord, as the one that has the right to tell us what to do. And that is very important, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, in most places in the New Testament, when salvation is mentioned, it's mentioned in connection with Jesus as Lord. For instance, the dying thief says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And so we see also that the Gospels picture Jesus as the Lord of everything. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of blindness, which was demonstrated by the fact that he opened people's eyes that were born blind. He is the Lord of death because he could raise people from the dead. He's the Lord of life because he raised them from the dead. He is the Lord of the seas, and he could say to the sea, peace be still. He is the Lord of the fish of the sea because he could bring the fish together. He is the Lord of leprosy and sickness and disease, and he could instantly control it by the words of his mouth. And he is the Lord of salvation. And so we come to him recognizing that he has a right to tell us what to do. And so that's what the Gospels teach. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of everything. Now, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is expressed in belief. And Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. You see, that act is what saves you. You confess Jesus publicly as Lord. You believe in your heart God hath raised him from the dead. And so Thomas, he said, I won't believe unless I see. And so Jesus said to him, put your hands in my side. Put your hands in the place where the nails went into my hands, and be not doubting, but believe. And when Thomas saw it, he said to Jesus Christ personally, and this is what will take you to heaven. He said, my Lord. It's not good enough for Jesus to be the Lord of your pastor or of your mother, your father, sister, or brother, but it's when you take him as your personal Lord. And this is what takes you to heaven, or this is how you do not go to heaven. It's heaven or hell. And you can know today that you're saved. You can know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You can know your future. The Bible says this all the way through. And if you don't know that, then you don't know what the Bible said. But Thomas says, my Lord and my God, to Jesus Christ. Have you ever said that to him? My Lord and my God. And Jesus described, this is what belief means. And he said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And so if we have true saving faith, we have received Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and as our God. Now, it's very interesting that the apostles always call Jesus Lord. Today, it's interesting. You listen to people and they talk about Jesus. They talk about Christ. They very seldom call him Lord. But if you follow the New Testament, they always call him Lord, except for Judas Iscariot. And Judas never called him Lord. You know, Judas called him master. If you have a master's degree, that means you're a school teacher. And so Judas called Jesus teacher, but never called him Lord. All the other apostles called Jesus Lord, but Judas just called him master. And you have today possibly half the churches out there in the United States that call themselves Christian. They would call Jesus a teacher or a good teacher, but they do not call him Lord. And so in the Bible, salvation is when you call Jesus Christ your personal Lord. Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus, and he never looked at him more than a good teacher. And there's many people that feel that way today. They call him a teacher. Well, if he's a teacher, then he's lying if you do not accept that he is God and that he is Lord. You know, the Jews in Jesus' day, they said, well, how can you, being so young and so on, say that you saw Abraham? And in the Old Testament, when Moses met with the God of the universe, and Moses said, who should I say sent me? And God said, say, I am, have sent you. And Jesus then said to these Jewish leaders, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And that is, he is the eternal God. He is the Lord. But Judas never recognized him and betrayed him. And so we have people today in religion, they don't recognize Jesus as the eternal God. And yet the Bible calls Jesus the true God and eternal life. Eternal means always was in the past and always will be in the future. And so Jesus says to Thomas, when Thomas says, my Lord and my God, he says, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. I want to ask you today, have you said that to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God, and then confessed him before men and believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Jesus died for our sins, was punished for every sin we ever committed, and then he was raised from the dead 3 days later. Now, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in repentance. And repentance means a change of heart. It's a change of heart and a change of attitude. And repentance means that before you're saved, before you've accepted Christ, you're the boss. You're the king of your own life. You tell yourself what to do. But you see, when you repent, then you are turning from yourself being in charge to putting Jesus in charge. In other words, you're accepting him and receiving him as your personal Lord. That's what repentance means. John the Baptist, it says that he came preaching, repent, repentance. And he said, repent and do works meet for repentance. If you've repented, there's a change of life and a change of works. But Jesus came and it says he preached, repent and believe the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ is God. He died for our sins. He bodily rose from the dead. Paul himself, who wrote half the New Testament by the power of the Spirit of God, Paul said, repent and do works meet for repentance. And that is, if a person is repented, then they have trusted Christ to be Lord, and there is a change of life. And to get specific, you know, Jesus said at one place, or the Bible says one place, that if you do certain works, if you're involved in lying, cheating, stealing, immorality, if that is your lifestyle, he said, I tell you before, as I told you, and I tell you again, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If your lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin and rebellion against the word of God, that is a demonstration that you haven't taken Christ as your Lord. Now, I'm not saying when a person does this that they're perfect, but I tell you, there's a change of heart and they're born again and they live a godly and holy life because they have been saved and born again. Well, we'll continue. I want to take a short break and then we'll go ahead.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
I believe preachers should be trained in local churches. And it seems like that when the colleges or seminaries are set up, they are good for a short time, but it seems like that they go to seed, and after a while, why, they're teaching things that they should not teach. And I've been teaching for many years in a Bible Institute, and we have a continuous group of people that have gone out as pastors of churches, and when the students graduate, they are working for the Lord and fired up and serving God even years later. And so that's why in the New Testament, Christ set up the church, and he trained his own disciples. Paul trained his own disciples. He didn't send them away to some seminary with doctors that corrupted them. And the Bible says that we're not to send our pearls or give our pearls to swine, you know, and that is people that don't even believe in Christ and are teaching falsehood. And so I just tell you about this, and you know, if you live in another area, this is on the west side of Cleveland, and you'd like to go to Bible school, I could tell you some good ones that believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, have soul-winning pastors that are witnessing in good churches. I can tell you a church in your area, and there's thousands of churches all over the world that believe the Bible, believe the King James Bible is God's Word. And so anyway, and also we give away a paper that shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from the modern versions of the Bible. And they're simply counterfeits, and that's just the beginning where they throw out Jesus' name. But there's many, many errors. It's based on a corrupt text of just a handful of manuscripts. And over 99% of the ancient manuscripts that the King James was translated from back up the King James text and not the modern perversions, the modern counterfeit Bibles. That's what our program is about. Well, let's get back to our subject here. And I'm going to mention this phone number again, because if we mention it twice, you have a chance to pick up a pen. So our number, once again, is if you like a paper, we send it to you free. We even pay for mailing. And the phone number is 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. The long distance is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And if you call in, why, we'll send you this paper, and it will show these, has the references on the paper where the names of Jesus are taken out in the counterfeit Bibles. Now, We're talking about the Lordship of Christ, and we ended with the Lordship of Christ and repentance. Repent's a change of heart where you, instead of you being the king of your own life, you invite Jesus, who is the creator of the universe, and he knows how to run our life better than we do. And you know, it makes a difference. There's a change of works. If you were an alcoholic, God will free you from that. Are you involved in immorality, fornication, adultery, and lying, cheating, and stealing? God will liberate you and free you from these things, and you'll start living a holy life. And that is evidence of salvation. It does not save you, but it demonstrates that you are saved. So we see then the Lordship of Jesus Christ and works. And some people say, well, this is works what you're teaching. No, it's what the Bible says. Paul says, I preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Christ to be the Lord of our life and the Savior of our soul. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has given the Sermon on the Mount. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he is showing that you cannot be saved by works. He says, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no wise enter in. And then in Matthew 7, he said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. They call Jesus Lord. They say, on judgment day, have we not cast out devils in your name, prophesied in your name, and said, and done many wonderful works in your name? So on judgment day, they're telling God the good works that they did to get into heaven. Well, you are not saved by works. The Bible says, by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not our life, our good life, because even after we're saved, we are not good enough. The Bible says the Lord is our righteousness. And when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the righteousness and perfection of Christ is counted to us, and our sin is counted to Jesus. And Jesus was punished for every sin we ever did or will do. God doesn't punish a Christian. A Christian's been punished already. He'll discipline you to get you back to where he wants you to be, but he doesn't punish you. Jesus was punished for our sins 2,000 years ago. And so we not only accept Christ as our Lord, but as our Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, the Lordship of Christ in the future, what does that mean? Well, even people that have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, in the future, they will bow the knee and say that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord for the glory of God. And that is, the whole world will be there. Hitler will say, Jesus is Lord. Stalin will say, Jesus is Lord. President Bush will say, Jesus is Lord. President Obama will say, Jesus is Lord. And everyone will bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. And we can do it if we say that now to him and we mean it from our heart. Then we have eternal life and we have salvation. So we see in the Word of God that the Lordship of Christ is expressed to us through the Bible. How's Jesus Lord? Is it what we think about God? No. It's through the words of Jesus Christ. And that's why the words are so important. We call this the verbal inspiration of the Bible. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's why we have this program. Christ is Lord through his words. And we are to read his words and find out the direction for our life. Somebody says, well, I want to know what the Lord wants me to do. Read the Bible. Read it systematically. Read each chapter two or three times. And start reading Matthew chapter 1 and read it two or three times. Read Matthew chapter 2. Read it two or three times. Read it every day. People call themselves Christians today. They don't read the Bible. This is insanity. This is against Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's listening to the words of Christ. How do we know we're saved? Because we have listened to his words. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. You see, Jesus saved people. They listen to his words. They listen to his voice, which they hear in his words. They have eternal life and they shall never perish. I'm going to give the phone number again. And if you would like this paper, you can, or you'd like to talk to us after the program, our number is 216-901-0933, 216-901-0933. And the long distance is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And thank God today we can know our future. And in the middle of all the chaos in this world, we can know that we're saved. We can know that when we die, we'll be with the Lord. If you are a born-again child of God, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And before the undertaker comes, before they close your eyelids in death, you will be in the New Jerusalem, in the gold city with Jesus Christ, rejoicing forever and ever and ever. And what a wonderful future God has for us. God wants us to, he wants everybody in the world to be part of his family, no matter what you've done. Ask Jesus for salvation. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.